welcome once again, friends, to another broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. This is Pastor Paul Tabano of Harvest Church in Clifton Park, New York, and I'm so glad you have decided to share this time with us. I pray today's program will be life-changing as you listen to the uncompromised Word of God. Now let's join a service already in progress.
John 14 and verse 6. I'm in the Amplified Bible. All right. John 14, verse 6. Now, this is Jesus talking. Say Jesus talking. How many of you know it's important? It's a lot of new teaching out today that says anything that Jesus said before he went to the cross and rose from the dead really isn't important. I'll tell you, there's some stuff out there. Don't forget about the Old Testament. I mean, let me tell you something. Everything that's in this book from cover to cover, the Bible says it's inspired by the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost inspired it, then I want it in my Bible and I want it in my heart. Amen? Can I tell you a little something else too? Listen, I hear this often. I hear a lot of believers saying this before we get to this scripture here, and that is, well, it sure sounds good. That sounds all right. What sounds all right and what seems to be good, if it doesn't line up with the Word, it's not. What Satan told Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, he brought the Word of God, but he brought it incorrectly and incomplete. And Jesus never said, well, that's pretty close, Satan. We'll let that one go. He immediately reacted with the Word. Let me tell you, there's a whole lot of preaching and things going on out there that are not the Word of God. They sound close, they look close, but they're not. It's like not having a real authentic watch. What's one of those watches everybody wants? A Rolex? You ever seen knockoff? You understand that there are a lot of knockoffs out there. You and I cannot settle for a knockoff when it comes to our spirit man. It's got to be the Word of God. That's why this scripture verse is so important to us. Then we'll get over to John chapter 5. Are you ready? Now, this is Jesus talking. How many of you have a red letter edition of the Bible? All right, good. Hallelujah. I don't think Jesus spoke in red, but here we go. Jesus said to him, who's the him? He talked to Thomas. He said this, I am the way. Say the way. That tells me there's got to be other ways. How many of you know that's true? There's more than one way to do something, correct? Jesus here is saying there's only one way, and he is what? Now see, that's very, very dogmatic. That says, well, you're being kind of narrow-minded. No, I'm being Bible-minded. I'm being word-minded. He's the way, and he's the... There are so many truths out there that are masked as truth, but they're really lies. How many... he's the way... Say, he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. Which tells me that there are other ways, there are other truths, or seem to be truths, and there are other people who say, well, if you live this way, you'll be cool. But listen to what Jesus says at the end of this now. Listen, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except how? See, people don't like that kind of stuff. People want to make their own God. They want to have their own fashion show and make God over this way so he fits all the categories that they're looking for. There's only one way to God, and it's through his son, Jesus Christ. I don't care what religion says. I don't care what people say. I base everything on the firm foundation of God's word that's in my heart. Now listen, if you know the truth, when you hear something that sounds close, you won't reach out and grab for it. You say, no, that's not the truth. That's what Jesus did when Satan tempted him one-on-one. What did he say? No, it's written. You and I have got to be established in this word. Say established in this word. So when lies show up, and what does John say about who's the liar and who's the father of all lies? Very simple. Satan is. So a half-truth is equal to the whole lie. It's either the truth or it's not. It's the truth or it's not. You ever seen a court case today? You can see them on television. You heard one, and people are going back and forth. Then all of a sudden, somebody stands up and says the truth. All of a sudden, everybody's eyes are open. Well, we didn't know that. Now we know the truth. And all of a sudden, everything else is what? Dispelled. When the truth shows up, when Jesus showed up, things changed. Glory to God. So go over to Mark chapter 5, would you? So who's Jesus now? He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. How do you get to the Father? Only through Jesus Christ. Well, you know, Pastor, that's very, very... I don't know, you know, this guy said this, and I read this book, and it said, Dad, if you read this book, you'll find out that that's the way you get to God. There's not another way. There's not two ways or three ways. There's one way, now listen, to the living God. There's a whole bunch of gods out there that are dead and lifeless, But the only way to the living God is how? Through Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Amen? All right, so let's go over here to Mark's Gospel, that fifth chapter, if you don't mind, because we're going to look at a principle today, all right? Now, look at verse 18 of the fifth chapter. And when he had stepped out into the boat, the man who had been controlled by an unclean spirit kept begging him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused to permit him, but said to him, now listen, go home to your own family and relatives and friends, bring back word to them how much the Lord has done for you and how he had sympathy for you and mercy on you. And he departed and began to publicly proclaim in the region of 10 cities how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were astonished, and what do? They marvel. Now listen, and when Jesus had recrossed, how many of you have the word recrossed in your Bible? Now why was Jesus on that side? That's where the Holy Ghost wanted him. Then he recrossed back to the other side. Isn't it interesting? Well, why didn't he just conserve and stay over here, and then when he was done here, he could go here? Because God has a perfect plan for your life and my life, and we can't go to what side we want to go unless he tells us to go there and tells us to do that, or he tells us to go back here. Seems like a waste of time. Listen, it doesn't work that way. I've got a call and a mandate on my life. I have a purpose in my life to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only mandate I have. I've worked secular jobs. I did it diligently, but that's not what God called me to do. I did it while I was in college preparing for ministry, but that's not what God called me to do. He called me and he prepared me to do what? Speak the word of God, not only in a pulpit, but anybody who's in my eye gate, anybody that can hear me, I'm going to tell them the good news about Jesus Christ. Amen? That's my purpose. Well, Pastor, will your purpose ever change? How can it change? How can you stop telling people about Jesus? Your purpose will never change. You're always going to have within your eye gate people who need Jesus Christ. Amen? So Jesus was obedient to the Father. And always remember, he never did anything. Say it again with me. Never did anything. Never said anything unless he first saw the Father do it or heard the Father say it. Boy, how uncomplicated our lives would be if we would not move out until we heard from Jesus, till the Holy Ghost spoke to us through his precious word. Can you imagine? The ministry that Jesus had here on earth was always done in the light and in the shadow of what the Father said and what the Father did. Ministries go down. Marriages go down. Families are torn apart. Why? Because they're not following God. They're not following the word. They think they have a better idea, but there isn't any. Amen? I'm telling you, find out your purpose. Follow the voice of God. Listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit and do exactly what he says. Amen? I like what the Bible says. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, why would he be called the prisoner of Christ? If you read the scriptures, listen to me, the Bible says, Paul said, I don't come with what kind of words? Enticing words of man's wisdom. Do you know Paul, early in his ministry, would get in heavy debates for hours at a time and sometimes go into the wee hours of the morning trying to persuade people with all that he knew that Jesus was the way? You know what he found out? Doesn't work. And then all of a sudden, one day, he let the Holy Ghost speak through him. Everything changed. Because when Paul found himself in prison, he knew he was there under the divine direction of the Holy Ghost. Paul, a prisoner of who? Jesus Christ. And you've heard me say this, that Paul won more people to Christ, you can study it out, in prison than he did if he could have been on the loose. Well, how could that be? Because the Holy Ghost had a plan for him, and he was following the plan through right till the end. Soldiers by the hundreds would change from one place to another, and they would take the good news of Christ with them because they were chained to Paul. They were guarding him day and night, and as one group of men changed and another came, Paul spoke and talked about Jesus. Don't think that you're in some prison in somewhere. Don't think that you're at a dead-end street somewhere. Don't you think God can't use you anymore? Don't think about anything, but God has an assignment for you today. He's got something for you to do today. And all we've got to do is hear it and then respond to it. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Are you ready now? Say, he recrossed. He went back over. My goodness, didn't even stop for lunch. That's great. Listen, got to the other side, a great throng gathered about him, and he was at the lakeside. The one of the rulers of the synagogue came up, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he prostrated himself at his feet. It's interesting, so did the woman with the issue of blood, and begged him earnestly, saying, what was he doing? Saying, I'm telling you, listen, there's a principle, there's a law of confession. People don't want to hear that. It's a law. How many of you know there are laws in this land? How many of you aren't happy about all of them? But you got to what? Obey them. We're instructed to do so. Am I right? If a law is violated, is there consequences? Absolutely. If we violate the law of the word, the law of faith, the law of confession, God's not going to come down and smack us in the head and say, oh, you got to pay for that. But we don't get all that we can get in our spiritual lives because we're not following the laws that God has. How many of you knows the law of gravity? How many of you have jumped up and came back down? I'm going to beat this thing. No, you're not. You can't beat gravity. Why? It's a law. The law of God and his word, the law of faith, and the law of confession of what his word says is a law that, how is it established? The Bible says what? Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, your word is established where? In heaven. Now, when Jesus came to earth, he came talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. What was he trying to do? Take what's established there and put it down here. And it's so hard for believers to grab a hold of that. It's foreign to us, but it's not foreign to heaven. You can loose and bind on earth because of what's loosed and bound in heaven already. Well, how does that happen? Happens by you and I saying what the word says and believing it by faith. Situations will change. Mountains will go. I didn't get to this age just by fumbling around through life. I got here in the natural by a lot of hard work. My hands are not hands that are smooth, they're calloused. I work to this day. You'll see me over there always with dirty clothes and a hat on, and I'm always working. Is the pastor here? I'm a guy, a blue-collar guy who has always worked. I like putting my hands to the plow in the pulpit, but in the natural, I always have my hands to the plow. That's just me. I'm a Peter, if you don't mind. I'm down by the seashore taking care of the nets so I can catch more fish. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here we go now. Can we go a little bit further? My God. The ruler came to him, verse 22, and seeing him, he prostrated himself, 23, and saying, my daughter is at the point of what? Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed and live. He was saying and speaking the law of faith, where? Out of his mouth. We have the most powerful tool available, and if every believer in this place and listening around the globe would take this word and start speaking it out of our mouth on a daily basis, not only for us, but for others who need help, this world would change overnight. I don't want to be repeating what somebody else said about something. I want to be saying what God said.
This is Pastor Carolyn Tabano. I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. If today's program has encouraged you and you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please send all correspondence and financial contributions to Harvest Church, 303 Grooms Road, Clifton Park, New York, 12065. If you'd like to download today's message and view our complete media library, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, you can find us at soldoutforjesus.com. Until next time, remember that you too can be sold out for Jesus because Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive.